Sorry, I have the pleasure of introducing Dee Jones from Sense of Ventures, and she's come along with her team today to tell you all about her and their experiences with sight loss and what Sense of Ventures is and how that sort of helped them and inspired them and gone on to inspire a lot of people, certainly in the sort of Worcestershire, in the Malvern district and around. And yeah, so it promises to be quite an interesting session. So we're going to keep you all on mute, but there will be opportunities to ask questions. If you do want to ask a question and you're able to raise your hand, then that's great. If not, just take yourself off mute and give us a shout. And then towards the end, we'll also have some questions then. Okay, so I'd like to hand over to Dee, if that's okay.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Stuart. And thank you, everybody, for coming. And thank you for inviting me. So I'll just talk a little bit about how I came to start Sense Adventures. It's through my own sight loss experience. So I was diagnosed with rod and cone dystrophy about 17 years ago. I was in my mid-40s then. And my sight is continuing to deteriorate. So it didn't kind of really kick in for a couple of years, but it was a kind of slow process. I feel that I've been fortunate that I've been able to take on all the different challenges of sight loss quite slowly. So I've kind of learnt along the way. I've always been very keen to say that you can still do anything. As a visually impaired person, you can still do anything. But it just takes a bit more thinking, a bit more organising. So I was diagnosed 17 years ago, and I was thinking about starting Sense Adventures for quite a few years. But I actually, we had the first walk 4 years ago. And of course, we didn't do anything face-to-face last year. So the first things that I really wanted to do were, I was looking for, as a single person and as a visually impaired person, to go on holiday on my own and to carry on doing the very simple thing of walking holiday. And so I was feeling frustrated. I couldn't quite find what I wanted to be able to do that. So my initial thought was that I wanted to organise short break holidays for the visually impaired, and because I love the Malvern Hills. So I moved here 30 years ago when I could still see, and I came from London and I've always loved the Malvern Hills and walked my dogs on the hills. And it was becoming a frustration to me that I felt I couldn't still continue to do that. It's just such a simple thing. And I was very aware that the hills are actually very accessible. You have wide paths, spectacular views, wonderful scenery, but you can still be quite safe. So it's not like going up into the mountains or Welsh hills or anything. And that it could be very easy to organise with just a little bit of help, just with a guide, to still facilitate that for myself as a blind person or visually impaired person. So 4 years ago, it was before then, I thought, well, I was having the idea of Sense Adventures. And I thought, well, just do it, just start to do something about it. So the first thing I did was sat down one day and wrote the text for the website. And then it all kind of flowed from then. So I got the website going. I started to recruit volunteer guides. So I sort of market locally. I DBS check guides and I give a bit of training, which is usually just talking to me about how to guide somebody who can't see properly. Sometimes we go up on the hills for a walk. And I've met lovely people through recruiting the guides. I've had a really good response. So the first thing that I did was the monthly day walks, because I wanted to build up my experience of the whole thing, really, and of looking after and facilitating a short break holiday. So we had 3 years of monthly day walks on Saturdays. And we meet people at Great Malvern Station. So people come in from all over. We've got people coming from Cheltenham, Birmingham, someone from as far away as Lichfield, Hereford, Worcester. And I think Megan, who's here, she was one of the first walkers and joined us and has been coming most Saturdays from that point. So we meet people off the trains, the guides. We then drive up onto the hills, which is 5-10 minutes up onto whichever part of the hills we go to. We spend a day on the hills, so 6-7 miles walk, take a picnic, usually stop at a cafe. Guide dogs are welcome, so they have an absolute ball because they're free running for the day. And the guides love dogs. It's a kind of essential thing about being a guide, really. So they keep an eye on the guide dogs for the guide dog owners. And we take people back down onto the back to the trains for about 4 or 5 o'clock. So we have a great day out, basically. So with Sense Adventures, I've always I've just explored different things. So we had I think 2 or 3 half days of yoga and a gong bath, which is basically a sound therapy meditation. We did a pottery day. As I say, all things are really possible. And then the year before last, so it's 2019, we did the first short break holiday, which was a weekend at the Clover Mill Retreat, which is a beautiful place deep in Worcestershire countryside. With yoga and massage, lovely walks. We did a walking weekend based there. So we used the accommodation, but spent the days walking. And that was, so I learned really a lot from that. We had guide dogs. We had people came from Exeter and someone from Norfolk. And so last year, I really wanted to put on more of those kind of weekends with different themes. And of course, we weren't able to. And so this year, I now have in the diary two weekends. One is a purely spa weekend at the Clover Mill, which is for yoga, massage. It's a very special, beautiful place. You stay in eco lodges. And the owner of the Clover Mill has given us a very good discounted rate. So I'm able to make it available to Sense Adventures people. And we have a walking weekend, which I've put in the diary for July. So at the moment, we've just got the two weekends. And that's really what I would like to grow. And I would like to offer more with different themes. So last year, because of COVID, I started to do some online Zoom sessions with different themes and the yoga. So we've from the end of September, we've had weekly yoga classes with all specifically for the visually impaired. So we have a lovely yoga teacher, Hilly, who gives us really clear instruction, and that's going very well. We've had a creative writing group, which Megan, I'll bring you in, Megan, to talk about, and some cookery classes as well. So we have a sort of cook along or listen and cook later with Suki, who's a lovely Indian lady who's sharing her family recipes with us. And Patrick, you take part in that, don't you?
I do, yes.
You can tell us a bit about that. And Laura, so Laura, who has been... she's been leading some cookery sessions based on her as a Paralympic cyclist, talking about the nutrition and how to cook easy one pot meals as a visually impaired person. Maybe I can introduce Laura to start with. We met, didn't we, through, because you came to one of the Indian cookery classes originally.
Yeah, it is. I love to, apart from riding a bike or riding a tandem, which is you know, one I do, I've done for the past 11 years, and I've been fortunate enough to race across many different countries, but you know, that's one of my many passions, and my other is cooking. So when I heard about the Indian cookery lessons, I was like, I really want to join in. So I signed up and I did the first one and really enjoyed it. And then for the past 2 years, I've been running my own kind of food blog called Blindingly Good Food, which is basically, it was inspired by the fact that whenever I do any talks about my cycling and my sort of successes in cycling and being an elite athlete, one of the most commonly asked questions is, so what's your diet like? And I kind of wanted to set the blog up to sort of disband this myth that elite athletes have to stick to this really strict and boring and regimented diet, when actually, you know, healthy food can still be interesting, it can still be really enjoyable to eat, and it can also be really easy to cook for yourself. So that's kind of where the blog started. And then a lot of people like, well, but how do you do that when you can't see? I've been blind pretty much from birth. I've got a hereditary sight loss condition. So it, you know, inspired by all these questions, I started thinking, well, how can I help other people who are losing sight develop their confidence around the kitchen and, you know, show them how to cook healthy meals and stop a lot, because a lot of people lose their sight later on in life, and then kind of don't have the same confidence to cook or you know, to look after themselves or in when they're living on their own, and rely on ready-made meals that you just stick in the oven or the microwave. And yes, they're feasible, but they're not healthy, and they're not exciting in the same way as a home-cooked meal. So I just want more blind people to be able to experience that and to feel comfortable with doing it for themselves.
Yeah, the recipes are wonderful as well. I mean, because I could see, I used to cook a lot when I could see. And so I do, you know, I think we all have kind of quite funny mistakes in the kitchen, don't we? You know, putting the wrong ingredients in things. And
it's been quite nice actually having different sessions, and because we, you know, we chat while we cook and we share experiences. And it's been really nice kind of sharing those mishaps as well as the successes, and, you know, having a bit of a giggle about when things have gone wrong and that. I definitely think that's kind of one of the things that I've enjoyed the most from them.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And also to share everybody's sort of tips in how to label things and how to keep yourself safe in the kitchen, really.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that's kind of part of what my whole hope was, to you know, come up with a resource for people who are losing their sight and suddenly kind of thinking, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? And there's not a big resource for people to go and say, all right, I'm struggling with this, what do I do? You know, and hopefully with my blog, that's kind of becoming that resource.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I mean, the blog is fascinating. And also you were on the food programme. It was really refreshing. They did a half hour completely devoted to blind people cooking, didn't they? And you were on that.
Yeah, there were three of us, because Amal Latif, who was on Celebrity MasterChef, him, myself and another guy kind of talked about our experiences of cooking without sight. And it you know, the more we can kind of get it out there and get people to realise that you can still, you know, live independently. And I think for me, one of the biggest reasons I love to cook is I love the feeling of being able to look after my family. So cooking a meal for my family makes me feel worthwhile. So, you know, it's really good for mental health, and it's one of the things I think people struggle with when you do start to lose your sight and you become reliant on other people to do things for you. Being able to then do something back for them, like cook them a meal, or, you know, it's a sign of love, and it's a sign of, it just makes you feel good about yourself.
Oh yes, I really resonate that with that, because I was diagnosed in my mid-40s, and I had three teenagers still at home. And I remember one of my first thoughts was, oh, I'm not going to be able to cook family meals anymore. And so of course I do now. I do.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
To begin with, I remember sitting around the dining room table and them looking a bit nervous sometimes when I served things up. I think we've kind of got over that now a bit. So, yeah, it's good.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you, Laura. Thank you. So we're doing, at the moment, we've got, is it four sessions in the diary left for different recipes? And so you send me the ingredients. I circulate those in advance so people can either add them to their shopping list and cook on the night, or just cook later, and then we send out the recipe afterwards. So I've had great feedback. I've had some people are loving it and booking up. So that's good. And it's always lovely to hear about you as your training, because you're training for Tokyo at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that Tokyo goes ahead in September after the year delay. While we're cooking, I kind of share my sort of the reason I use certain vegetables or different meal, how I bring together a meal to make sure it's as nutritious as possible. So I know a couple of tips I've already shared that people found quite interesting was like how people assume canned tuna is as nutritious as fresh tuna, but in fact canned tuna doesn't have the omega-3 fatty acids that you kind of assume it would have because of the canning process. So although it's still nutritious, it's not as nutritious as, say, tinned mackerel if you're trying to get omega-3 into your diet, which is the oily, you know, fatty acids, which is what our bodies need to protect us from infection. So, you know, there's little tips that I've picked up and I've learned through my, you know, having to make sure my nutrition is good that I can then pass on to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you, Laura. So I think we could spend all our talking to you, but we need to move on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to shoot off. So I apologise. I've got a training session to get to. So I'm sorry I'm not able to stay for the full session, but thank you for having me along.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. So then I was going to move on to Megan. Are you there, Megan?
Yeah,
I'm here. Yeah. Hi, would you like to just say a little bit about yourself and
great
adventures?
Thank you. So like Laura, I'm also completely blind, and I do think that that's quite rare actually in the visually impaired world to be completely blind. I think most people have Dee's experience of sort of saying when I could see, and they can still see, just not completely. So I was born completely blind, and I've done several things, mainstream school all the way up until I was 16, and then I went to New College Worcester to do my A-levels. I've since worked in a few places, and actually before I took a gap year between school and uni to teach English in Germany, which was so much fun. I now have an undergraduate degree and a master's in creative and critical writing, and I'm looking at doing a doctorate in the same field. And one of the main reasons, my ambition basically is to become a lecturer, and I'm also passionate about bringing creative writing into the communities. I mean, how often have you heard people say, oh, I'd really love to write a book, or one day I'm going to write that novel? And so I really want to show that everybody has the ability to write something and to not be confined by boundaries and norms. So, I mean, my poetry drove my dad nuts because he said poems should rhyme and mine never did. Mine were kind of more, well, actually sometimes they'd rhyme, but I wouldn't want the rhyme of the poem to confine me. My specialism is actually prose, short stories. And so I've been running workshops for Sense Adventures from when Dee launched online, actually. I, as Dee said, I've been a walker and a participant from the beginning of, I live in Cheltenham, so that's not too far to go from Cheltenham to Malvern. So in the workshops, we tend to take a theme, and that depends on the time of year. So we have, the last workshop we did happened to be a few days before Valentine's Day. And we explored the theme of love and everything that comes with it, which sounds soppy. It actually wasn't. I read a poem as a discussion point called, what is it called? That's a good point. It's a Carol Ann Duffy poem anyway that compares love to an onion. I have also led workshops on November and about remembrance and bonfire night and things like that, exploring childhood memories. My first workshop for Sense Adventures played on Dee's theme that she threads throughout a lot of her Sense Adventures events about sensory experiences and walking. So the theme was a walk in words. I made the theme. And this time, next Wednesday it is, the next workshop is on the theme of spring. And again, I don't like to be constrained by a theme. So I think a theme is only useful if it serves as an inspiration point. So where I would come from with this is that spring is about things blooming and blossoming and warming up, and there can be an optimistic hint to spring, weather getting nicer, etc. And a spring of ideas as well, a real flow of things developing and blooming. And that's what I'll be exploring in the workshop, is all the lovely stuff that comes of spring, any negatives, and how to explore those in writing. So I do all sorts of exercises, basically, which gets people, if not wanting to write, then at least to discuss it. And I'm quite clear that everything I offer is invitational, because I know from experience what a pain it can be being told to sit and do a writing exercise or writing prompt and just not feeling that it suits me or that I'm getting anything from it. So I offer those writing exercises up to the group. And if they start the exercise and it takes them in a completely random direction, or actually they just come to the workshop and they've got their own bit of writing they want to work on and share, that's completely fine too. They are paying to be in the workshop, so it's their party, as it were. And I think my challenge is to work with that. We have experienced a fair amount of technical issues to look at with the creative writing workshops on Zoom. So just looking at, because I always give people to discuss the exercises and how they found them. And also I give people lots of opportunities to share their work, which isn't always easy for visually impaired people, because they may be able to write and not read it back so easily. So we allow them to post their writing into the chat function. We've had a few where the visually impaired people have asked their screen reading software to read it out loud for them. And if we do have anyone with sort of full or sight or who is able to read, we might ask the person how they'd feel about one of their peers reading out their work. So we take a flexible approach. It's a maximum of 2 hours long. And yeah, we're definitely not short of discussion. So come and join us. I'm sure Dee will share all her contact details at the end. But that's going to be Wednesday, the 17th of March, and it's 7 till 9, if anyone wants to come. And I will be here until the end. So if anyone, I guess, has any questions or anything, I guess you're welcome to put them in the chat to me, or Dee will probably ask for questions later, I should think.
Yeah. Thank you, Megan. Thank you. That's wonderful. So actually, Patrick and Caroline, you've both taken part in the creative writing, haven't you?
Yes, indeed.
As well as other things. Patrick, would you like to introduce yourself? And you also lead the Make Sense of Tech sessions, yes. Don't you? Yes. And you've been on the walk. So yes, so over okay. to you for a bit.
Right. I'm Patrick, and I lost my sight completely and as a result of a mining explosion when I was in my late 20s, and now I'm in my 70s, so it's been a hell of a long time. But I'm also reminded that in this world of visual impairment, there are many networks, many people that you meet, and then sometimes you don't meet them for years, and then all of a sudden they pop up again. Dee is one of those, because we live fairly close to each other and would encounter each other on a train or walking down Ledbury Holmand. But also, I think we may have even rowed in the same boat at Upton Rowing Club.
Yes, definitely. Yes,
We did row together, I think we did, in a four or an eight before Dee had to give up rowing. I still go rowing, which is another thing that visually impaired people can do, join in with a mainstream club. And the other connection I've just discovered, and she's gone now, but when I spoke to Laura, said hello, she said, I think we met when I worked at Birmingham University as a disabled student advisor and advisor on assistive technology. And indeed, I think it was Laura that I helped to get her disabled student allowance. So there's another network rejoined. But to go just briefly about my career, I trained as a speech therapist when I had some sight after an operation at Moorfields way back, but then jumped career into training and teaching people with disabilities to use computers. So that really leads on to, I worked for over 20 years as a self-employed person, training and assessing people in work, visually impaired people, to use assistive technology, and eventually, as I said, ended up at Birmingham University supporting students and advising the university on assistive technology. So, Pew. Then when I encountered Dee a few times, one of the ones when she was going out on a tandem with a guy I used to pilot my tandem, then we met, I can't remember when, and I just began to be aware of Sense Adventures. So only recently, just before the pandemic struck, I went out on my first walk on the Malverns, which was absolutely brilliant. And then re-engaged with Dee, and we've developed some things. I joined in with the Indian cookery. Tonight I am required by my wife to make the wonderful paneer and bell pepper curry, which
lovely, yes.
nearly blew my head off when I think we'll have to moderate the amount of red chili powder we put in it. But then in discussions with Dee, I thought, well, with my background in tech, we could run some sessions on Zoom, and they go every fortnight, and they're called Make Sense of Tech. And really, they are quite well attended. And it just seems to me that there are a number of developments going on in a small way on the smartphones. And so I thought, well, do people know about these apps that help you to get around, your mobility? They're not specifically developed by the tech industry for visually impaired. They are actually available mainstream. So on your iPhone or on your Google phone or whatever. And so I started introducing these apps, and they've gone down very well. People, I can talk about them. People on the group have got their others, you know, their particular favorites, and they tell about their experiences of how to use them. I'll give you one example, a chap who works in West Bromwich, and he's still working, and he tries to get to work when he has to use a taxi, which he doesn't like. He likes to be as independent. So I introduced him to an app which is not specifically for VI people. It's called Move It. And he took it on board. He was somebody, he said, if it doesn't work first time, he gives up on it. So I said, well, spend a bit of time on it and see how you get on. And the latest from him is that he has stopped using a taxi and is starting to use a bus, which is very pleasing to him, using this app Move It. So the Move It can help him find a station, which is a bus stop that he wants to change to a different bus route. And he's successfully done that. And he's also using another app, a free app called Microsoft Soundscape, which is helping me enormously in his mobility around his own area. So that's just an example of, so these meetings are every fortnight, and we get people from, there's an old friend of mine who is in the same business of training as me, Roger Wilson-Hines, people might have heard of. He and his wife, Margaret, come in, and they're people from, I think there's somebody from Edinburgh, there's people from the West Midlands and down south. So it's gathering pace. So that's the make sense of tech. And I just have to finish by saying that meeting Dee again and getting involved with Sense Adventures, I do the yoga and the cooking, has been fantastic. So thank you, Dee.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick. That's wonderful. I was just going to introduce Caroline as well. I'm just conscious of time. I'm not sure what time it is, Stuart.
It's 20 to 11.
Oh, okay. So that's why we'll leave time for some questions. But Caroline, so I think I met you originally through an ordinary yoga class, didn't I?
And I think we were both upside down together.
Oh, yes, that's right. best way. Yes, and so, but you've joined Sense Adventures as a guide, and I just like you to talk a little bit about your experiences as a guide, really.
Okay, well, morning, lovely people, those people I haven't said hello to before. And yes, I'm very lucky to be a friend of Dee's and one of her guides. The thing that comes to mind about the Sense Adventure walks is how much joy is sparked on those adventures. There's so much chatter that's going on, lots of laughter, lots of sharing of good ideas, linking into, for example, Patrick saying, but just a whole bundle of fun of being outdoors and active on the Malvern Hills. We heard Jack's barking at the beginning. The dogs bring such an element of joy as well. Megan's got a gorgeous dog as well. And to see them, for me, running around wild and free, splattering us in mud. It's just such an uplifting experience. And I think also it's such a sociable affair. As a guide, we're rotated around different people. So everybody gets to meet lots of different people. And the people you attract, Dee, are such a wide variety of ages and backgrounds and interests. It's always a fascinating experience. And as a guide, I always come away with very new perspectives on things. So it's very refreshing. And I think we've all learnt over the last year, it's such it's a relaxing experience to be outdoors, very mindful, being out in nature. As Megan said, it's a very sensory experience. And quite a few people up on the hills, when I'm talking to them about what they can feel the sense of space and a sense for some people of the light up there. You know, when we're stood up there looking out, facing out, the sense of space up there is absolutely beautiful on the top of the hills. And as Patrick was saying, I think the network it's created, particularly at a time when people can be very lonely and isolated, and alone, you know, the network that it's created, the community that it's led to, all created by Dee, you know, that team is, it's a wonderful group of people, a wonderful pool of humanity. So it's a great day out. So yes, it's just something that sparks joy. One of my jobs is that I am a therapist and a counsellor. So the other thing that I've done with Dee, a bit like Megan and Patrick, I've done a well-being session on relaxation using the tapping or emotional freedom technique. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, it's just a very simple but very powerful technique using your own fingertips on specific relaxation points of your body. So we've done a workshop together on how to relax ourselves when we're nervous, anxious, sad, grieving, you know, need some uplift. So that's another thing I do, mainly one-to-one through Zoom, and works very well with VI people. So, you know, meeting Dee and being part of Sense Adventures certainly enriched my life very much, and it seems to enrich all her clients as well. It's a great experience. I'm very grateful to know Dee.
Thank you. Well, yes, that's lovely. Thank you, Caroline. I just wanted, before we go over to questions, just to say that ongoing, I'm really open to ideas of what people want. So in terms of the short break holidays, at the moment I've got the walking weekend in the diary and the spa weekend, but Megan and I, we've spoken about maybe offering a creative writing weekend in the future. And the other thing, anything that people would like, I'm always open to ideas. And also, if people wanted to come to the area, if you have a group of friends and you would like to come to visit the Morvans, I could then facilitate it and set it up. So, I just wanted to say that. So shall we go over to some questions? Do we have questions?
Yeah, I think we should go over to questions now. Tim said that he's going to unmute everybody's microphones so that everyone can just chime in with whatever they need to. I mean, personally, I'd like to start with a question, if you don't mind. We've been hearing some really talented people here talking about a lot of different things, you know, and we're talking about what they're doing with you guys at Sense Adventures, but it's sort of interesting as to how people get to the point where they're able to kind of add to your pool. And I'm sort of wondering, is there opportunity for other people that might have talents as well to kind of join in?
Oh yes, I mean, I love talking to people. So pick the phone up, talk to me with ideas. Yeah, because that's what I'm about. It's about looking for new ways for things. Yes. Well, as I say, I'm open to everything. So please do call me, email me. I think you're going to give out my mobile number at the end. Yes, definitely.
So if anyone else has got any questions, if you'd like to shout out now, and we'll try and do you one at a time.
I have some, but I actually have three. Is that all right?
Yes.
Hi, Dee. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time. My name is Juji Heibel. I work for Support Foresight. So I'm one of the organizers like Stuart, but obviously he had you for this session, lucky him. Can I just ask you, please, your weekend in July, the spa weekend, when are you planning to have that in terms of what time of the year?
It's in September. I think I'm nearly fully booked for that one.
That's
But there's a waiting list, and I like people to get in touch with me and show interest, and then I know I can put on another date. But that one is in the beginning of September.
And can I just ask you, have you got a newsletter or something that maybe we can subscribe to that could come with all the events that you are running and things that going on, like a monthly or three-monthly email list?
Yes, I have you can go on the mailing list. So if people would like to do that, a newsletter is a good idea. I should be doing that. But actually, I do send out information as a mailing list, yeah.
And as a professional like me, can I be on your mailing list? So obviously I can spread the word amongst my clients, or do you?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Great. Yeah. I would like to have that, Stuart, if you can please email some details over later for Dee. I would definitely like to know what you are up to, and just tell everybody in Essex what you guys are doing, and get as many people involved as possible. Can I just ask you, not the weekends that you are running, because obviously there is a charge, but like Megan's session or Laura's cooking session or the yoga, do you charge for those, or are they free for people?
Yes, so I do pay the people who run them as well, and I like to use as many blind and visually impaired people to lead them as well. So I charge, there's £10 per session for the creative writing, which is every 4 weeks, and that's a couple of hours. The yoga is weekly, that's £10 a week. And the cookery sessions are £15 per session.
Thank you.
And the Make Sense of Tech is free.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Patrick, yes. Make Sense of Tech is
free. I was just going to put in there, it's Megan, to say that Dee generally doesn't charge for things without paying the person who's actually leading or doing it. I thought I should point that out, though, because there are some places that would do that. So I invoice Dee, as I would for running my workshops online, and she knows how many people she needs to be able to run the event in order for... Yeah,
basically. I mean, there is absolutely, you know, it's really nothing for free, is it, in life, really, realistically. So I think it's absolutely fine that you charge people. And sometimes I feel when people pay, they take a little bit more ownership anyway, when they get everything for free. So thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed it. It was lovely to meet you all, and thank you. And I definitely will sign up to your newsletter. Definitely.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Patrick, can I ask you a question, Patrick?
Sure.
I'm Tim Ward, sighted by South Lakes in Cumbria. I'm interested in the technology side. I'm the assistant technology coordinator. I mean, I've got a couple of people who may be interested in your group, and myself, of course. What are the details on joining? Can I get that after the meeting off D, or have you got them to hand?
Well, I think all the invitations for the meetings come from Dee. I write up a little bit before each meeting so we know what we're going to cover. And then sometimes people ask me for notes afterwards, which I do. So everything will come through Dee. So if you got the website or email address for Sense Adventures, then Dee's newsletter, then you'll know when they are. And you can certainly, I mean, the next one is on the 20th of March and starts at 10:30. So Dee can send you a link and you can just join in.
Excellent. Yeah, that's something we're missing on our side. We'd be good with the hardware. We've not been doing much on apps. That'd be really great. And some of the people are quite interested in that side.
Good.
And Megan, while I'm still rattling on, you mentioned your event March the 17th, 7 till 9. Again, by a D?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to put your details in the chat, D?
Yeah.
Would you like me to do that for you, D?
Yes, well, I think, Stuart, were you not going to... I don't mind how it's done, really. Stuart, you're going to do that.
So I can pop those in the chat, and I'll also just read them out to everybody now as well. So, okay. Dee's website is senseadventures.co.uk if you want to go there. And if you just want to give her a call, did you say to give out your mobile number, Dee?
Yes.
That's 07920144614. And do you want the email address, the Sense Adventures email?
Yes. So Dee at Sense Adventures, yeah.
So dee@senseadventures.co.uk. I'll just pop all that in the chat now if anybody needs to copy and paste that for later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So are there any other questions?
Yes, hi, my name is Peter Osborne. I'm severely sight impaired, involved in travel and sport predominantly. I also work for Blind Veterans. I'm just wondering how many spaces you have on these weekends normally, roughly as a ballpark figure.
At the moment, for the walking weekend, I've booked 5 rooms. So it's on a twin sharing basis, so that's 10 people. Yeah. And the same, so the Clover Mill weekend, it's slightly different. There are, again, a capacity for 10 people. So there are 5 lodges, each sleeping 2 people. So at the moment, I think that's quite a nice number, really, because it keeps it more manageable, more friendly. So that's at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's no limit to the numbers on your creative writing sessions and tech sessions and things?
Well, that's kind of easier to have more people, isn't it, really? At the moment, I think, Megan, we have about 8 or 9 people.
Yeah, I think we have about 10, actually.
Yeah.
So a maximum of 10.
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you.
And for the cookery, similar numbers for all of the workshops, really. We've got about 8-10 people on average. I mean, there's room for more, certainly on the yoga. We could have more. So with the yoga, it's lovely because Hilly is able to, we keep everybody unmuted. So a lot of the people haven't done yoga before and can't see the screen. So it's very reliant on them asking questions if they haven't got the posture right. And Hilly can see the people that want to keep themselves on video. She can watch what everybody's doing and correct the postures. So at the moment, again, we have up to about 10 people. When we get to a point where we have more than that, we'll have to make a decision about how we lose that sort of niceness, if you like, the personal touch. So, yeah. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Any more questions? Anybody? Is that a no?
I'm having a look. I can't see any hands up. No, I think that's it, Stuart. I think can't see anybody up. No.
Okay, well, that's great. So.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, hello, Anne. Anne. Hello, Anne.
Hi. Hi, I'm Anne Dignan. I run a local support group on behalf of the Macular Society. My regional manager's actually on this call as well, I see. And what it is I think it's such a wonderful idea, but I think the logistics of travelling, you know, from Scotland down to where you guys are for a weekend, I just wish you could have some kind of an extension whereby you could have something available, maybe at the Scottish borders or whatever, I don't know, just something to make it a wee bit more accessible for us folks up in Glasgow and Edinburgh and roundabout. It just sounds amazing, you know, for the actual physical weekends I'm speaking about, you know, either the yoga or whatever, you know. The Cloverfield weekend, you know, the retreat weekend things.
Absolutely. All things are possible in the future. So, I mean, I would love, at the moment, it's very local to here, although the rail links are very good. I understand time-wise coming for a weekend, but if you had a group of people wanted to come, I could potentially put on something for longer to make it worthwhile coming down. Mm-hmm. And the rail links are good via Birmingham. I think there's even a direct train goes up to Darlington that I know. On that east coast. So there's that. Yeah. But do sort of talk to me about what people would like, and I can see if I can put things in place. And in the future, I would love to organise things all around the country. I'm just not quite there yet, really.
Mm-hmm. No, it's something good for Hazel to think about as well. Regional manager, yeah.
Can I just jump in and say that obviously we haven't mentioned the kind of elephant in the room, which is the pandemic. I mentioned it. The good thing is the online events can keep going, and like Dee's very sensitive to that. So sensitive, she hasn't bored us by mentioning it again, but she, you know, she's taking booking sensitively around that. You know, it's not like signing up to a weekend that you have to go for too, whether it's safe or not, you know.
No, no.
She's got that on her mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Tim from Side Advice here. We're in Cumbria, which is in between the two of you. And we have a mainline station. It's called Oxenholme. There's no village there, but there's a mainline station in the middle of, not middle of nowhere, but it goes to Edinburgh, it goes to Manchester, it goes to London, it goes to Birmingham. And it's a Lake District. I mean, I'm sure we could get volunteers if you wanted to put something up here, Dee, in any time.
Oh, really? Oh, that's really exciting. I would love that.
Yeah, because volunteers, we have them. So feel free to contact us.
Okay.
That means, Dan, you can get there.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, that's exciting.
It is. I think we've got the possibility to go national here.
Yes. No, it's very interesting. Tim again from Site Advice in Cumbria. The range is really, you know, it's really, really good. And it just sounds ultra professional as well, which is really nice. You know, it sounds like this is really going places, and I can only see it getting bigger. And the more people find out about it, I'm quite impressed, I must admit.
I do love.
I was about to comment. Sorry.
No, go on, Megan.
It's Megan again. I was just going to say that actually what I like about it is that it isn't too professional. And by that, I mean that, I don't know, the way Dee does things, I guess she makes it look quite easy. And obviously she has her own considerations and things to think about as an organiser. And it's in the actual get together, the event itself is more of a friendly, well-supported group of people than like super bureaucratic, professional, you know, bit like stickler for the rules-ish, you know. So even though it is probably far more professional than I realise, it doesn't feel that way, and that's a good thing.
I'd like to say that it meets a need, and that's the lovely thing about it. It can be a little bit seat of the pants, but that's okay, because that's what people want. You know, and certainly in my sessions, they sometimes don't realise the potentiality of what we're exploring, and that sort of less structured mode is the key to Sense Adventures. It is organised, but it's unorganised at the same time. It's friendly and welcoming.
Yeah, I like to make it personal, so that's why I like people to talk to me. So if, you know, it's a big ask for people to come and travel a long way to people that, you know, to strangers. I like it to make it open for the holidays or the day walks, that people feel they can come on their own if they want, and that it's if they've spoken to me, I'm a friendly voice, hopefully, and they'll keep safe, you know. So I like to think it's kind of personal but professional as well.
Can I also say, it's linking to that, it's very, your approach is very adaptable and flexible. So I'm just thinking back to when we did a walk two summers ago on probably the hottest day of the year. And you all the time, sort of in a very relaxed but safe way, we're adapting the route in order to keep people walking through woodland and in shade. And also you were very considerate about the dogs. We managed to walk along a path where there were unlimited Malvern springs, and the dogs were wallowing in like cold mud, like big hippos. So
particularly Megan,
you're always open to everyone's needs and having the best time.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dee, I missed that.
Megan's Layla loves mud, yeah, in particular.
Yes.
Yeah. We all know that.
She got in my car afterwards.
Did she?
She's the polar opposite of my dog, who avoids mud at all costs.
Oh, I wish I had one like that.
Well, mine does when she's in harness. She'll avoid the puddles and make me walk in them. But yes, yeah. Layla is definitely the muddiest dog on the walks. She just heard her name.
Yeah. I think I'm very conscious of keeping everybody safe, you know, and like in the heat. And also we did a walk, it's one of the last ones, I think, before shutdown and everything, lockdown, where in December, so we carry on right through the year, but we hit the top of the hill And all of a sudden we had sleet and rain. I don't know, Megan, if you were with us.
Yes.
But I was, because I know the hills so well, I was able to get down very quickly to a cafe.
We got a free facial, didn't we? Face exfoliation in the wind and the hail and the,
that's the spirit.
Yeah, my cheeks have never been so red and healthy.
So yeah.
But I think that's another point, Dee. You know those hills inside out. You've walked every path of every hill. And it just staggers me, your knowledge of that area. And I always go somewhere different where I've never been before. So,
and there are cafes on the hills. So we have cafe and cake stops. Very important, you know, when you're walking 8 miles.
Yeah, and we do vary the walks. So if you come regularly, we do visit different parts of the hills. And the hills themselves are very varied. So you're more rural to more open woodland streams and then more open. So. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, it seems to me that we've gone over time by about 5 minutes. So are there any further questions from anybody who's been listening in today? Anyone there? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
No, but can we stay on, Stuart and Tim and me, please?
We will.
Thank you.
So I'd advise South Lakes for coming anyway, Dean Stewart, for organising this.
Thank you.
Excuse me, can I have a word with either Stuart or Tim or both before I leave?
We'll keep you on at the end, Patrick, yes?
Okay.
Absolutely. So I'd just like to thank Dee and her team for coming on today. It's been really great to hear all these stories and to hear how you get Sense Adventures working and managing through the elephant pandemic that we were mentioning earlier. And it's great. And we really do hope it goes, you know, from... just it keeps increasing in, getting out and helping people. So thanks for coming along and telling us all about it. And we'll just say to everybody who's logged in today as well, thank you for all taking time out of your day to come and listen and join in with this session. We will be having another session in a month's time, I believe. I think... Is it Tim? Are you doing that session, the next one?
No, this is Essex, Susie.
So it's Susie.
It's me, yeah. Yes, so the lady, I can't think of her name, Suzanne, I can't remember her surname, from the Macular Society. And she's going to be doing a little bit of a well-being session, but in terms of to what extent, I'm not too sure yet. But that's the plan in a month's time. Suzanne. Can't think of her surname. Sorry.
Okay.
We'll have a chat after. Yeah.
Richard. It's Megan. I'm going to head off now because I need to get back to work. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you,
Megan. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, Megan.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.